Hello, y'all. Welcome back. It's Dr. Nicole Truesdell here. And as always, I'm your host and guide for my podcast, Abolitionist Dreamscape. So welcome. And it's episode 5, y'all. Episode 5. So I'm still here. If you listen and you still here, so we're still here together. Now, today I'm going to talk about kind of some musings that I've been having about community and who I want to be in community with and why I want to be in community with folks, as I realize I'm slowly emerging out of this kind of hermit mode that I've been in for the past couple of years. And in doing so, especially the past few weeks in particular, and the past weekend specifically, I'm realizing that it's been a lot of me having to sit with and work with the energy of Oshun, who I equate with the energy of Venus. And astrologically, this really lines up really well. And how in those kind of lessons I've been learning through these nodal transits of Venus-led signs of Taurus and Libra, along with Venus having done this big retrograde this summer in the sign of Leo, I can really understand now why I had to kind of be in an isolatory location in order to get real clear about who the hell I am, honestly and authentically, in terms of where I am in this point of my life, as a way to get clearer about then how I can be in relationship with others in a way in which I learn how to honor myself versus shrink myself. So I'm going to talk about all that in this episode, okay? Bring some astrology in, bring some spirit in, and mix and do a remix of it with kind of analysis through evolution, right? Now, before I begin, I got to do some housekeeping and some shout outs. So as always, I can only do this work in the public, create in the public, really. I don't even consider it work. I consider it's my creation. I can only do that through the support of those who have been supporting my work. So first, I want to give a big shout out to my patrons. I have a Patreon, Abolitionist Dreamscapes as well. I'll put it in the show notes, the link to that. And in that space is where I really do continue my creating. I do lessons, teachings, musings, contemplations, meditations, community calls around different aspects of how we break things that don't work for us and keep us confined and don't allow us to really sit in our humanity as creative beings. And at the same time, as we're breaking stuff, how do we create? How do we dream? How do we give new templates that allow us to envision new ways of knowing and being outside of that confinement so that we are making space and way for those who are coming behind us, right? And we can only do that by kind of knowing who we are and opening up space in our bodies to invite those who came before us to help us understand how to do this thing called life so that when we do pass over, we can become those good ancestors. When I mean good, those elevated community ancestors who are here to help the new generations forward know that there's different ways that we can do this thing called life and grow. Okay. So I do all that kind of creating on the Patreon. So if you're interested in being a patron and supporting and engaging, go ahead and check out the link in the bio or the link in the show notes below. Okay. I also want to thank my donors. I've got folks who donate to my work in various ways. I accept donations through my Cash App, Zelle, PayPal, and Venmo, all Dr. Nicole Truesdell. And I really do appreciate that support because it allows me to, again, keep creating. I do a lot of content creating. I don't even consider it content creating. I just do a lot of teaching and kind of musings in the public on my TikTok and IG page. Again, it's all Dr. Nicole Truesdell. And it's through the support of those donors that allows me to know that both people want to hear what I'm talking about, but also, again, it gives me the time and space to continue to create. So I want to thank you all. And I also want to thank those who like and share and follow and comment on this podcast, because that means a lot as well. I know not everyone can financially contribute, but that is also contributing and showing support. So those who have been commenting, who have been liking, who have been sharing, that really does help me out a lot, especially on platforms like Spotify and YouTube and Apple Podcasts. It gets it in rotation, and that helps me eventually be able to monetize and gain sponsorship, which is something that I am actively pursuing and open to as well. So please continue to do so. And again, I appreciate all the support. And if you want to have a more intimate conversation with me, I am hosting a virtual, again, this is a virtual salon conversation for Black women, cis and trans, queer and non-binary folks on October 15th, which is the day after the full moon in Libra, which is also going to be a full solar eclipse. We're going to hit eclipse season soon, y'all. It's fall time already. I'm going to have a host of virtual conversation talking about abolition, astrology, and the ancestors. Because in this eclipse season, in this fall season in particular, when this energy, this kind of chaotic energy, is really asking us to do these massive pivots in our life, that's when the veil is the most open, and that's when we can start to hear the dead even more. But we really can't understand and decipher and know what they're talking about if we're also not in our bodies and hearing ourselves. So we're going to talk about all of that as Black folks together in this virtual space, all right, and also create together. So again, that's October 15th. I'll put the link in the show notes below, and you can also find more information on my website, drnicoletruesdale.com, in which you can also book astrology readings for me there. You can book me for one-on-one coaching sessions in various ways. And also, I've got a form if you are interested in having me keynote a panel for you all, or a conference, or doing any kind of facilitation or consultation work. You can find more information out on my website there too. Okay. All right, y'all. So let's get into it. I got enough housekeeping and advertisements done. It's been interesting being your own businesswoman. You got to realize you got to be your own hype man too. You got to be your own hype person. And so that's something that I've been really leaning into. And it's been a big lesson, ironically, that I'm learning from Oshun, right? So when I talk about this idea of coming out of hermit mode and how it's been really me engaging with the lessons of Venus, which I equate to the energy of Oshun, this is what I mean. So Oshun is the energy of the sweet waters, right? She is the energy of the river. She is the one who is the original feminine energy, the original feminine Erumile, which is the primordials of the Orisha pantheon. This is really superficial and a history of Oshun. Okay, so I'm also going to preface that as well. But Oshun represents love. She represents sweetness. She represents relationships. She represents the feminine. She represents part of the marketplace, because in the tradition of Orisha and Yoruba, it is the feminine. It runs the marketplace. So you can also equate Oshun with money. And there's all of these types of lessons that one learns from her, and they can be lessons through sweetness or lessons through sorrow, but they're all trying to get us to come back into a more authentic sense of self. And the way we understand and honor self is by getting really clear about, again, what our pleasures are, what our desires, our needs, and our wants are. And I talk about this in episode 2 when I talk about pleasure a bit, but this is kind of a continuation of that conversation, if I'm thinking about it now. And the past few months, the planet of Venus has been having a big conversation with all of us. And again, I talk about this in a few episodes as well, because Venus is also the planet that rules love, money, relationships, and art and beauty. And Oshun also does rule things like art and beauty as well, especially beauty. And so Venus has two signs that govern her. It is Taurus and it is Libra. Taurus is the earth sign, the materiality, the essence of realizing you got a body because you are only human in a vessel, and that vessel is the body. So it is the materiality of being in an actual corporal body, right? The corpse itself. And then you also have Libra. Libra rules the air virgin, the more masculine, and that is the kind of justice parts of it, is the relationships, the duality, right? It is this idea of art through words, so poetry and the like, right? So you really get this kind of earth and air aspects of this understandings of love and money and relationship and the like, okay, and beauty. Now, the nodes of the moon, the past 18 months, y'all, right? So starting in January of last year, 2022, until July of this year, the south node of the moon was in Scorpio, the north was in Taurus, excuse me. And that is now shifted, because in July, and I talked about this before in a previous episode, now in July, the nodes have shifted to the north node being in Aries, the south node being in Libra. So for about 3 years total, from January of last year until about January 2025, the signs, the sides of Venus are really alive within all of us. They are really active. So your Taurus and your Libra, along with your Scorpio and Aries houses, really have been having these kind of conversations to get us to come back into an embodiment of what it means to be human, really, through that North Node in Taurus, because we had a realization that we are not machines. We are finite beings. And what happens when that being, that body has a limitation, right? You're going to have a kind of reality check about what safety and security and what it means to kind of live actually means. We've now shifted into the head of Aries, right? Where we're going to have to initiate some things because we are out of balance. That South Node in Libra being injustice, right? Scorpio last 18 months showed us the kind of depths of the ways that we can kind of delude ourselves and hold on to trauma and pain and aspects of violence that really aren't ours, but are told to us to kind of maintain as peace. When those illusionary waters start to evaporate and then we get into Libra, we have to really face the fact that we are out of balance in a society. This is a society that has fed us justice through the lens of power, but power through a racial capitalistic economic system is one that will always need our dehumanization in one way or shape or another. And that dehumanization's foundations rest upon a perpetuation of anti-Blackness, anti-indigeneity that is foundational to the maintenance of a Christian white patriarchal society. Okay. Now people might think that that's a bunch of words that I'm just spitting out in wokeness. No, it is a really shorthand way for us to understand the depthness and the intricate nature that we have grown up in a society that has told us violence is love, that has told us we can only have peace through imperialism, that has made us believe that anything that we render down to our biology makes it fixed and finite. But every time we say that the biology is showing us how kind of diverse and fluid we are, then the shifting then goes to more ideology, right? So we are realizing that the kind of stories and the kind of constructions of society we have been fed do not serve us. They do not allow us to honor ourselves. They do not even allow us to be able to understand and sit in a sense of self, right? So these nodal shifts have really been a, quite frankly, truly an awakening. And we hear in these kind of very spiritual realm, our spiritual kind of circles, this idea of awakenings, right? And elevations and stuff like that. There is an awakening, but the awakening is not to elevate us outside of our bodies. As I said before, the awakening us is awakening to get us inside the body. Because again, you cannot get into your divinity until you get into your humanity, and you can't be in your humanity until you're in your goddamn body, right? And this is what Venus has really been shoving down our throats. And that's been having that conversation alongside the fact that we are still in the midst of a pandemic. COVID is still here and it's rearing its ugly head even more, right? Because we won't face the reality that the structures that we are in do not actually care about our care. They care about our production. So they will then shift the ideology, right, that they feed to us. They will shift the narratives around science and technology, all these things we've been fed to kind of fix us into the system, into the society, right? They then can easily ignore that or reinterpret it so that it keeps us believing that we can somehow outwit and outperform nature in the body itself. And that's not reality, right? So what happens when you believe your reality? And I ask this question a lot because it sounds really good, but then when you really sit with it and take the responsibility of sitting in your body and facing your reality and believing it, then it becomes really hard, if you're being honest with yourself, to continue to keep exploiting yourself in these systems and the various ways we are taught to exploit ourselves. And that exploitation is different because the exploitation differs depending upon how our bodies are read by this state, right? So it's our identities and how our identities collide in our bodies, and then what that means when it's read by the state, and how it sorts us, right? And it sorts us by our identities and our abilities based upon those identities and how it can see us. All of those things are performances, are conditionings that when you kind of start to question those, right? When you start to push back against those performances, when you start to ask yourself questions like, well, does this make any damn sense? How do we how do we go from having lockdowns in which we can be paid? Well, most of us, I wasn't paid, but those who could, and I was really appreciative of those who could be paid to sit at home, right, and be with themselves. And things really did still keep going. And then now we're told that things are going to crumble if we don't all of a sudden go back to jobs that were going to require us to still sit on Zoom calls, right? None of that makes any sense. So then people start questioning, and the questioning allows them to see different possibilities and different understandings. And those understandings are things like, oh, real estate and corporate real estate, and how so much of people's and businesses' assets are tied into their assets of owning property. Because again, we live in a capitalist society that base your kind of humanity and self-worth based on what you can own. So ownership, right? Everything and everyone can be property. So what happens when that property depreciates in value? Well, you got to get your value back, right? In order to get your value back, you got to get folks' bodies in the building that they don't really need to be in. It's not about them. It's about you, right? The you being the corporate body that then becomes the kind of power lens, right? See, we start questioning. When you get time to yourself and you can start to ask yourself certain things, and even when you don't want to believe yourself, when you have time and you sit with yourself and your body then understands that it can go in a different direction, in a different speed and light, right? And it does so. It gets real hard for you to try to bring that body back into a performance, into an exploitation when it has had a taste of what freedom could look and feel like, right? So that really is, for me, the kind of precursor that led us into these Venus moments, these Venus lessons that to me are really Oshun lessons in particular, in which for me, I had to really, being in my body the past 18 months really helped me figure out that I was gay as shit, right? And I've talked about this before in previous episodes, but for me, that coming out process started with those eclipse seasons back when the eclipse seasons were starting in Scorpio and Taurus. And again, I'm a Scorpio rising with the Taurus moons. This is my first and seventh axis. So my axis of self and my one-on-one relationships, how myself is seen and shows up in one-on-one relationships, right? This last 18 months, that was a complete transformation. I am not the same person. I can't even show up if I wanted to like I used to, because I don't even know how to, because my body won't let me. That's the embodiment process. I learned what it would feel like if I kept trying to give up parts of myself to others. I got sick, y'all. The last 18 months when I was with a former partner, so I got into a relationship, and this is not to disparage her at all. This is really more about my understanding of what that relationship taught me, situationship, whatever it was. It was my first, you know, lesbian relationship, sapphic, and, you know, it did feel really good and a lot of points, you know, to be with the woman, to be with the Black woman, and to feel as if I could be understood. And I know I felt and had her understood because we had very similar experiences in terms of, quite frankly, trauma, working in justice spaces and being in past relationships, but also like we can make each other laugh. And like, we had really horrible sleeping patterns because both of us were going through a lot of personal shit, me a divorce and custody battle, her own personal things that I don't want to bring up because that's not my business to talk about. But so there was ways that, you know, we'd be up at 2 or 3 in the morning and we both like to smoke some weed. So she'd roll a blunt and we'd smoke some and talk and laugh, you know, and watch movies and then pass out because we both owned our own business. And so it was winter and, you know, business tends to be a little bit slower. Everything was online for us. So there was a way that Venus, really Oshun there was teaching me in that kind of hibernation hermit mode of transformation of this kind of first and seventh house is who am I in my relationships? And it was just me and her. And when I didn't have my child with me, she was with me in my home. And I realized that when I didn't honor myself, my body got really sick, like for 3 months. After her birthday in January, for 3 months off and on, I was really, really sick. to the point in March where for 30 days straight, if I wasn't vomiting or having the runs, right, I was in the bed, like it was bad. And I, at one point I realized, and I heard it, I heard my ancestors, right? This is where we start to lie to ourselves, y'all. I talk a lot about, do you believe yourself? Because I've had to do this work myself, right? And I will believe myself and still not act on the beliefs. Let me explain what I mean by that. So I was sick as hell for those months off and on because I wasn't honoring myself. I knew that I needed to be alone. I really did. I think I subconsciously knew that, but I was fighting that because I was also in a space where I had lost almost all of my so-called community. Folks that I thought I was friends with, the people that I had called my child's godparents, we just stopped. They all kind of just fell off. Some very abruptly, and they hurt just as bad, if not worse, quite frankly, than my divorce. Friend breakups when you don't really understand why you're breaking up are awful. That's a whole nother, it's a whole nother episode to talk about. But then others, like when I wasn't in that hetero relationship with my ex, there was really nothing holding us together. Like I hadn't realized how many of my relationships have been built around me being in a relationship with the man, right? At all. And so, and then also me being attracted to men, or at least thinking I was, right? And so a lot of the community fell around. So I was kind of being forced to have to get clearer about who I wanted to be in community with, but there was so much going on, plus trying to build a business, plus I was trying to, and plus divorce is not cheap, y'all, at all, like at all. And we didn't even go through the courts fully, you know, most of it was mediation and that shit was still not cheap. Anyway. Ooh, Charlie. The stories about that shit too. Anyway, the mediations, I will do an episode about that. The mediations and the way I had to deal with that racism child, I will, that's a whole other thing, but let me not keep going off track. So, you know, there was a time I was scared, y'all. I was lonely and I was going and my whole life was upended, right? So there was a way being with her, at least I felt like I felt human a little bit. Like I didn't feel like I was this foreign alien by myself sitting in a home back at home in a city I hadn't been in since I had really been 17. And here I am, was 41 at the time, trying to figure out who the hell I was and what I was doing while also building things in the public. Because one thing I did at least know was that I was a goddamn creative and I wanted to talk. I did know that. And that shit kept my sanity, and my Patreon kept my sanity. And I really do mean that. Being able to come on the microphone and tea talking and teaching, but not even teaching. Sometimes I felt I was preaching, like I had spirit in me and my own sense of spirit, right? Just coming out and expressing in ways that I've been wanting to for so long, but felt like I couldn't because of the goddamn institutions that are basically nothing more than fucking plantations, right? So there was a way that I was slowly figuring out what the hell it is that I wanted to create. And in doing so, though, the community, the people around me were kind of leaving. So I was in this kind of situationship relationship with somebody. And, you know, it was something that helped me, though, see, and again, this is, that was that, that North Node in Taurus in my body, where when I was an honoring and getting to know me, because it was really about me getting better at understanding that I needed to be in relationship with folks, leaving the first house of Scorpio that can be closed off and kind of stings oneself, right? And very paranoid, and really opening up and understanding that you do need people, right? We are human beings. We need one another, whether we want to know it or not. But that I had to kind of re-examine what safety and security in a relationship was. And my Chiron is in Taurus with my moon, like they're right on each other with my DC. So there's also a lot of kind of purging and transmutation of wounds from a very early age in which I kind of gave up myself in my one-on-one relationships, not honoring my own kind of voice and my own knowing, because I have a very strong knowing that for so long when it contradicted what others told me, and due to a lot of childhood trauma that I had to work through therapy as well during this time. So I'm also in therapy at this time too. I was realizing how much I didn't accept. I was subconsciously pouring into others what I should have been really pouring into myself, because I could see it in them. And so, but I was also, what I was seeing in others are things that I was told to, in one way, shape, or form, weren't part of me. It's very cliche, right? Very cliche. It's kind of annoying. But it's also really goddamn profound when you understand what the hell it means, and you're like, oh, okay. So in the relationship, I really was so concerned about her and making sure that she was okay that I really wasn't taking care of myself. I really wasn't. And I think I also subconsciously knew that, but then I was just like, there's a way, y'all, where it can get really easy to tell yourself that this is all it is, though. This is all you kind of can get. And the daydreaming that you do is just daydreaming. And I talk about dreaming a lot because I do daydream a lot. I'm a big dreamer. I have been my whole life. But I've also been chastised for that. And I've kind of been reclaiming it a lot more. I've got 4 12th house placements. I've got my south node in the 4th house in Aquarius, right? There's a lot going on in my chart that what I understand now indicates that daydreaming for me is how I have both been able to kind of cope with my childhood that wasn't the greatest, but also it's how I create, it's how I transmute this kind of suffering and pain, but also joy and ecstasy, all these, basically my emotions, period. It's how I transmute them and then share them out in the public, right? And so there's a way that I had to stop using that kind of power, or not power, I guess that kind of tool against myself. And so when I was in the relationship and I was caring for her and was not honoring kind of what I needed, which was honestly a known time, my body shut down. Like I said before, I was really, really sick. And so in all of that, when she finally left, because she wasn't living in the area, so once winter kind of thawed, she was in a way to make her own move to a different state. I had to make the decision, and I ended it. I had to end it. But in ending it, that was also the very beginning of Venus going into Leo. So it was right before Venus was making her way into Leo. So Venus had been in the sign of Cancer for a while. And so as Venus goes into Leo and the summer hits, I'm like, okay, well, I'm single. I think it's summertime. I was fully divorced. And I was like, okay, I want to mingle. Let's go out and mingle, Nicole. You're figuring out what it is and who it is and how it is you want to show up. And I was not just thinking about just romantic. I was like, okay, I can also maybe start to find friends, right? Like there's different kind of queer events in the city. Queer Pride of Pride's coming up. You know, I was really excited to kind of get out there. I went to my first kind of gay pride prom on January 1st at this lesbian speakeasy out in Humboldt Park and the West Side. And after that, I didn't really go out again. It just kind of stopped. I just kind of stopped doing all of it. And it was because I realized I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do or where I wanted to go, because I didn't have the same taste anymore. And so the minute Venus went retrograde in Leo, which is my 10th house, 10th house's reputation and career and stuff like that and legacy, there was a kind of internal essence and internal kind of voice having me really go back into myself and start to question, okay, if you are really committed to figuring out who you want to be in community with, Nicole, then who the hell are you? Like, what do you actually like? What do you want? Do you even need a bunch of people around you? Like, is the idea of community that you are even talking to yourself about, Nicole? Like, is it about, and I'm not talking, I don't talk to myself in the third person. I'm just trying to get you to understand what I'm talking about, okay? What I was asking myself. But really, I was asking myself the questions that were forcing me to have to look at all sides of myself and not the kind of perception that I wanted others to see of me. Does that make sense, y'all? Right? And so that threw me for a loop, because I pride myself on being authentic, but I also had to realize that my authenticity was one that I also hid from a lot of people too. that Scorpio. And so now that I can no longer hide it because I'm not hiding from myself, and this is where this nodal transit into that 12th house has really been jacking my ass up since the middle of July, because now the south node is in Libra. Libra is my 12th house. I've got four planets there, one of them being Venus. The other three are Saturn, Jupiter, and then Pluto. They're all hanging out. And those three personal planets are in a tight conjunction. There's a way that now I'm in the kind of depths and in the kind of subconscious of the other side of Venus, and having to sit with my subconscious and my thoughts about how I have really been trained, and I trained myself in my life that in order to not feel hurt and pain with other people, because again, my Chiron's in one-on-one relationships, in order not to feel as if I'm having hurt and pain from others, but feeling like I'm getting some security from being with people, because I really do like to be in partnership with folks in all capacities, right? That I feel loyalty with and trust and feel like we can create together, right? In order to do that though, I had learned how to kind of hide a lot of my kind of authentic sense of self in order to conform to who I was with and find parts of them that I could then connect to, right? And that's not honest. That's not fucking honest. It's not honest to myself, and it's not honest to them, because then when I'm getting frustrated, and I remember this very clearly in relationships, when I get very frustrated in relationships with people and feel as if I wasn't heard or feel as if I couldn't fully express myself, right? And then the relationship would end up dissolving in one way or another. And usually this is friendships. There's a way that I would then internalize it and think that I was bad, but in actuality, I hadn't fully shown up. I hadn't fully shown up. And so then when they were there and they were showing up as they had been, right? And then I wanted to show up more of me, but there was no space to do that in, then my frustration and anger, I would internalize that. I had horrible stomach problems for a long time, IBS. And again, that's what happened when I was with my ex, right? When she was here and I was not honoring myself, I had a lot of stomach issues again, because I wasn't expressing fully what I wanted and needed. But at the same time, I was realizing I wasn't truly clear about what I wanted and needed, except that I really needed to be by my damn self and be in my own energy and sit with myself, so that I could get clear about what the hell it is I wanted, right? And so that's really what's been going on the past few months, honestly, this whole summer. I went on a date. It was nice, but it just didn't work out. And she's a lovely person. But even that was a good example for me, or a good kind of engagement for me, because when we were in conversation after seeing each other for 2 days, you know, she wasn't from the area. So she was here for 2 days. We hung out and then we started to communicate still more after. It was in those communications and in a really pivotal conversation in which she expressed what she was looking for. And I made it really clear that this is where I am right now. That was probably the first time I can say recently where I was really clear about what it is I needed and wanted and what I could and could not offer to anybody, because this is what I was offering to myself. And because I was honest and she was honest, we realized that this was not going to be the best kind of relationship for us, because I want to date and she wants something much more long-term off the bat. And completely understandable, but those are two different wants and needs and desires, right? And so, and that, I'm not gonna lie, it kind of sucked. I'm not gonna lie, it kind of sucked, because I did like her and it was having fun. But again, when there's two different kind of foundations coming in, that's not gonna work in the long run. And I realized that, because there are certain things I realized that I absolutely cannot compromise on for me, especially right now as I'm on this journey of figuring out who the hell I am outside of just one or two kind of dimensions. Again, how do I take myself and understanding of self outside of just being kind of this quote unquote academic, ex-academic or intellectual, and really sitting in my full creativity? Because I got all kinds of shit that I'm going to, that I've been doing, y'all, that I'm excited for. And one of them, and this is again where it comes back to Oshun, because Oshun, through the sign of Venus for me and this kind of energy, is also about creativity and beauty and art. And again, because I got four planets in the 12th house in Libra, one being Venus, I got my damn moon in Taurus, right? I got my sun in Leo with my north node, fifth house ruled by Pisces. Y'all, I got stories and creations for days, for years up in this brain, right? When I was a kid, I used to write plays and draw and create all kinds of stories and stuff. And so this past weekend, I'm going to wrap up here, y'all. I'm kind of just rambling right now, but hope you've been enjoying the kind of musing so far. But this past weekend, I went to this fundraiser up north at the Honeycomb co-op, and it's a local co-op, Puerto Rican run, woman run, space, creative space that it was lovely. It was so nice. It was a lovely night. They're fundraising because gentrification and prices of rent are going up, and you know, the community needs the space. And so they're fundraising, and they got all kinds of, they got an apothecary there. You can rent out space to work. I'm thinking of going up there to do a couple of just kind of days of working off and on, over the next couple of months to get out of the house. That's just a side note, but it was because I really enjoyed being in the space. And that, and then when I was there, again, it's called Honeycomb. So Honeycomb Honey is one of the kind of offerings we give to Oshun, because again, sweetness, right? So when I walked in, you could kind of feel the energy of Oshun already there, the honey, the sweetness, the community coming together. And they were doing an open mic along with having two local, well, two artists, two poets in, there to perform along with a DJ, and who was a badass. I loved her house music. And so one of the women who came up to do the spoken word was this, was a woman, a Boricua woman, and she wanted to honor her wife. And at first I thought her wife had passed, but she wasn't. Her wife was just at work. But she was loved this woman, and she just wanted to invite her energy into the space. And she was like, I'm not a poet, but I wrote this poem for my wife. Y'all, it was the most beautiful thing that I could hear, that I needed to hear. And it was a poem that she said that she wrote because when she went to her babalawo, her padrino, she asked Oshun for a partner, and her partner, and then her partner appeared. And so they both went to their padrino because they both had the same godfather, I guess. And when they asked Ifa about their relationship, Oshun came down and said that this was a gift, that she was a gift for her wife because her wife really had sacrificed and had shown that she was committed to loving herself. And so therefore she can make space and receive the love of another who could fully care for her. And then she gave this poem about basically how much her wife loves her and how much she loves her wife. Y'all, it was beautiful. I'm a romantic ass heart. That shit melted me. And I said, that is exactly what, that is what I'm talking about with the relationship. That is the bar for me, right? And then it hit me, right? It hit me how much I loved the open micness. I loved the two poets who came after and being in the space and just seeing that community. I realized how much I wanted to be on the stage, but I didn't know what I was going to say. So I didn't get up there, right? But I realized that there was a internal fight in me of this one, like, oh my God, I could never do that. That got really calmed down by this other part of me that came out like, yo, I want to do that, right? And so I realized that that was Oshun's energy. That was, and this was kind of as Venus was going direct. So in my 10th house of Leo, right? And I came home, and as I was driving home, a bunch of kind of ideas for poems came to me. And I was like, wow, I haven't written poetry in years. Because yo, I consider myself a poet who don't write poetry. I love me some poetry. I am a sappy bitch. when I'm with a partner and I love them, like I want to be in bed with smoking a blunt wrapped in rose petals while I'm reading you poetry and we listening to a record play. Okay. Like that is literally, that is literally me. Right. And so being in that space and literally having it called Honeycomb, having Oshun be there through her daughters, right. Invoking the spirit in the space. And then one of the poets, her partner had actually passed 2 years ago. So she gave us some poems that she had written as a way to process her grief, right? So we also invited grief into the space with the love, right? And it was really telling because I was so grateful as well, because Friday was also the feast day of Oshun in Lukumi, in Ocha. So it really was, I felt like a gift from Oshun, from Venus, right? From that energy of love and compassion and relationships and wealth, right? To have me really take a step back and honor the fact that this kind of long hermit mode for me and being by myself and having to sit with my own energy has been a gift. It's been a gift from Oshun. It's been a gift from my ancestors because of the love that they have for me, that they wanted me to really learn how to embody and hold for myself. Because if I want to be in community with others, and for me, community means thus being able to openly love one another unapologetically so that we can hold space for each other in our full in humanity, which means we're going to have all kinds of ways that we show up right in ourselves, and it's not going to be perfect, and I can't perform identities. I just have to be able to kind of be the musing, messy, eccentric, I'm going to randomly talk about astrology and probably talk too long and then realize it and, kind of be awkward, but also want to have you with me and us do this thing of just kind of engaging in all this energy, right? Like, I want to be able to do that with people. And I know that's possible, but I have to be able to do it with myself and sit with myself so that I can receive it, right? This is the responsibility. This, I believe, is what part of this kind of South Node in Libra is really getting us to understand, that when we stop, when we give up parts of ourselves, when we people please, it really does no good for anybody because no one's showing up fully. And so there can be no justice if there is no truth. And we can only have truth in this space when we actually allow ourselves to honor and tell the truth to ourselves and then enact from a space of that truth making and truth telling, right? And so this is, I think, really been important for me to be truthful with myself, and that I had to be okay being alone in order to be in community. And again, that's the most cliche thing ever, but it's so damn true. All right. Okay. I rambled enough at y'all this episode. I hope this made sense. And it's something that I'll continue to kind of talk through in different episodes off and on, because for me, it really is the ability to intertwine the theory around kind of this idea of self and relationship and other, that kind of theoretical of what it means to love self and the practical of what it means to come back to self, when we are literally all just trying to figure out how to live in a society that keeps telling us it needs more and more of us, right? So when we live in extraction, how do we give ourselves permission to kind of take up the space we need that is required for us to get right with ourselves, right? To actually ask ourselves the hard questions of what we need and want and be able to answer them, and then know that answer is authentic to ourselves, not just puppeting what we think we should be doing, right? And for me, this really is that kind of time, these kind of crux, these crossroads we're in right now in society, especially with those outer planets all right now being in retrograde, but many of them then going to be changing signs within the next couple of years when the outer planets start to shift and change signs, right? Because they stay in these signs for so long, those big transition moments, those couple of years in between when they're kind of going backwards and forwards between the sign they're going to go into and the sign they're coming from, that's the transitional crossroads of society that we then individually also feel. And when we're at those crossroads, that's when these kind of hermit modes, kind of internal processes, these type of really deep self-reflections, societal reflections, the kind of bifurcation of big issues that we're seeing across the board, right? Of having these whole so-called debates around people's humanity, those all come to the forefront, right? In order for us to ask the questions of what the hell we actually really want, who do we believe and why, and where are we going to go? So again, if you want to continue to keep dreaming with me, please check out the show notes below on how to do so. And on October 15th with Black women, queer, non-binary folks, I'm going to be talking a lot more about this with folks and really getting into what it means for us to be at this crossroads right now in society and what the astrology can teach us about how we can truly have an abolition that involves and invokes our ancestors in ways that brings us peace. Because what does justice for our ancestors really look like in the present day? so that we are laying the foundations that not only allow the future generations to have true justice in the present, but then we're making space so that when we become the ancestors, we can also provide that messaging for those who come after us, because we have done the work in the flesh, in the mundane, to take that to the sacred places. All right. So I'm going to leave you there again. And let me know what you think in the comments below. And as always, y'all, keep dreaming, because it is in the dreamscapes that we can learn how to live in the present. All right. Till next time.